today is sort of a bookend with that. We're going to talk about our values. So before I jump into this message, let me just take a moment, as I always like to do right here in this part of our service, and welcome all those that join us each week online. We're so glad for online campus. Can we welcome all those? Yes, we're so glad you're here. Great to have you along for the ride. Awesome. I feel like I want to just pause right here and just give some attention to one thing that was mentioned in our information that you just heard regarding our connection card, and that lower half of that card that's perforated, that's our prayer card. We take prayer very, very seriously around here. And I was just noting this morning just all the prayer that takes place even before most people get here on Sunday morning. We have prayer at 9 o'clock. That's actually one of our small groups that meets here but really it's open for the entire church to come and pray at 9 o'clock before anything else happens. We move into a production meeting after that. I move into a production meeting where we just want to make sure that, you know, we've just kind of got all the boxes checked. We're not going to have anything that's going to distract, and everything's going to flow right in our service. And we just kind of communicate what the service is going to look like. We have prayer during that production meeting. Again, we just got through praying. We pray again. Then we move over into the huddle. Our dream team that we have here has a huddle on Sunday mornings, those that are serving and just making a difference. And we gather and we have prayer. We prayed over our small group leaders today. Then we prayed again over our dream team. And then I went from there and I was trying to find our worship pastor because I had one thing I wanted to share with him. And I didn't interrupt him because I found him right behind this wall here with his worship team, and they were having prayer before they came out here to sing. I just want you to know, prayer is a secret sauce around here that makes everything work, because if we're not connected to Him, none of this works. And so I just want to give a shout out to those that are just involved in praying. Of all the groups, you know, we always say that our groups are free market, and so shop the right group and find the right group for you. But as far as the prayer aspect, I beg. I'm not going to be apologetic for begging you to be involved in prayer. And no matter what you do, you know, maybe like spokes of a wheel, we'll have all different groups around the edge of the spoke. But at the center of that, prayer is not just one of those spokes. Prayer is at the center of that, right? Because that's our connection to God that makes everything work, right? So I just want to appreciate all those that are investing in prayer and just and you are making a difference. And so I just want to share that. Well, let's jump into this installment here of just really a two-part deal here for you as we talk about vision. And I just feel like it needs to be so much coupled with what we're going to talk about today, and that is our values. So to set this up, I want to go back and just talk about something I laid out last week, just to lay a quick foundation, and we're going to move very quickly. There in your worship guide, there are some message notes that are blank, okay? So we don't have the fill-ins, but we have blank form there that you can take some notes, and you might want to get your pen out and take a bunch of notes, because I'm going to move as quickly as I can. I've got some material to cover today. I may even skip some. I skipped some last week. You just didn't even know that. Those guys back there knew it, so I may skip some today because I just want to give you the whole truckload, and I know I can't do it all in one service, so I had to at least break this down into a couple of parts here. But let's look at this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And we're talking about vision. Let me take that and bring it into the NIV translation that says, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions." I especially like the Message version of that, which says if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. It's true. If you don't know where you're going, you don't know where the goalpost is. You know, you're just meandering around somewhere. You don't even know what the goal is. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. So we want to make sure we understand what God has called us to do and make sure we're about that. And make sure that we're all on the same page. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Living Bible puts it this way, "Let there be real harmony among you so there won't be any splits in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." So with that in mind, I want to talk about really what our vision, but also what our values are. Last week, again, I'm going to highlight this. You'll hear this over and over again. And that is that our vision is that we know God, that we find freedom, that we discover purpose, and we make a difference. And so I won't go too deep in that because we went all through that last week. But when we look at these things of our vision, we also need to see about how our values match up into us fulfilling that vision. So our values here at Crosspoint, now listen to this, if you don't go to church here and never come back here, these are things that will work for your life, okay? This is good stuff, and so it's not just about Crosspoint, it's about some values that I really feel as we move into this fall season, it's very important for us to understand and stay true to the simplicity of what God has called us to do. So I believe it's very important we get back to the simplicity and make sure we keep the foundation, the foundation. You ever watch football? Okay, I'm sorry. I got football on my mind, guys. Y'all know that, right? You watch football and they do things where it's just fundamentals, you know. Florida State Seminoles, don't try to just pick up the ball and make a big play. Fall on the ball and get it when it's a fumble. You know what I'm saying? And that's the fundamentals. So we got to make sure as a church that we stay true to the fundamentals and the simplicity of what God has called us to do. And I can't think of anything more basic and more really that captures everything. Somebody called it the gospel in a nutshell. That's found in John chapter 3 and verse 16, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And so here we find in this scripture, we find our why of what we're doing. Jesus alludes to the fact that there are those that won't believe in him that will perish. But if we believe in him, we'll have eternal life. So we gotta understand that this is not just a game we're playing. This is actually death and life and death, right? This is heaven and hell kind of stuff, right? So if it's that important, then honestly, as a church, we need to do everything we can, short of sin, to reach people, right? I mean, that's really what this thing is all about. And so it leads us to what to do. It's here that we find what to do, our vision, and our how to do these things, our values, and who we are as a church. And that speaks to our culture or our environment. Can I just point out today that we are a Great Commission church? And I'm going to conclude with that in this message today about the Great Commission, how that ties in. But let's get into this thing of our values. And really, it has to do with the culture that we're trying to create here as a church. Culture, it's been said, trumps vision every time. John Maxwell said, "You don't get what you want, you get who you are." So what you are really decides what you get. Proverbs actually tells us, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And it's about not just what we do mechanically, but who we are as a people. And so we come to know that by discovering really who Jesus is and who we are in him. So let's talk about that. So when we're trying to figure out who we are as a church, we exist and move and have our being in Christ. So in Jesus, we discover really who we are. It's in him that we find our identity. It's not in the identity of our environment around us in this world, but it's actually our identity is found in Christ. And so I've listed some adjectives that really describe Jesus, and there's five attributes that I want to just highlight, that, and I'm not saying these are exclusive, but these stand out when you look at the life of Christ, and I believe that these five attributes is really what we as a church should be established on, and actually we've kind of condensed that down into four core values that we'll be focusing on this morning. So, if we're to look like Christ, what does that look like? What does Jesus look like? And so here's a list of adjectives. First of all, he was authentic. Okay, write that down. He was authentic. So, Jesus didn't come with some special robe, riding on a chariot, and he didn't have a special parking place, right? And speaking in King James, you know, he was before King James. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, some people think, you know, he spoke King James. No, he gave something that you could actually use on Monday. And so he went and he got with the people, and people connected to him. They identified with him. They could relate to him. He talked their language. He wasn't just perched up in a synagogue somewhere speaking in some oratorial voice. You know, he actually talked to the people where they were. He got on a boat and talked to them. He got on the hillside and talked to them. He was very, very authentic. And so he sat down and he was very real with them. He was, I guess the word there is real. He was real, right? He was real. Second thing we see is he was relevant. His messages could pass the who cares test. He gave something that you could use on Monday. He wasn't so disconnected with life. And I think sometimes church can be that way, that the windows are different, the chairs are different, the music's different, we talk different. I call it that we talk sometimes in Christianese. You know, hello, brother. How art thou today? How are thou doing? You know, I mean, we kind of talk in King James if we're not careful. And the world, you know, we're trying to connect God to the world, and they're like, huh? Right? And so Jesus was very, very relevant. And we need to be relevant as well and bring that together as Jesus did. Another attribute, an adjective that I would describe him as, and that is that he was enjoyable. He was enjoyable. You know he was enjoyable. I've said this before. Kids were drawn to him. Kids are not drawn to somebody who's not enjoyable. So the artist who had the rendering of him throwing the curveball and had the sunken in face and he has no smile on his face, I don't think really got the true picture of who Jesus is, right? Jesus was enjoyable. They had to pull kids off of him. He was a kid magnet. And we need to be a place that's full of laughter and enjoyable. Yes, church should be enjoyable. We believe that it should be the best part of your week. Another thing that we see is that he was accepting. Sinners liked him. The religious people didn't like him, but sinners liked him. We need to be a place where lost people could come who don't even agree with us necessarily, who say, I'm not even sure if I agree with what you're talking about, but I feel welcome here. I listen, and I can come back, and I don't feel pressure, and I can hang out and check this thing out and see if it's real and not be condemned and not worry about how I'm dressed or how I look. Jesus was an accepting person, and we need to be accepting as well. Now, that doesn't mean that we accept everybody's lifestyle. That doesn't mean we accept sin. That doesn't mean we accept something that's not up to God's standard. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people and lost souls and lost conditions. We accept them, right? There's a difference, and sometimes we merge the two together. We love people, and we accept people. And then another thing, we see that Jesus was very powerful. Very, very powerful. For a lot of us, we want to serve a God who still does miracles. Because all of those that have been exposed to things in this whole power world, that kind of freaks us out sometimes. Because we've concluded that a lot of it was man-made, and so a lot have gravitated, listen to this, to a safe Christianity that's powerless. Because we don't want anything weird to happen, and I get that. But I believe we as a church need to be a church that narrows the gap and come back to the place where we realize that God still heals, and God still does miracles. And it doesn't have to be goofy, but it can be powerful without being goofy. So we ask the question, can we do that? Can we be a church that believes that God can do the miraculous without being spooky about it? There's a difference. You see, I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit, and we rely upon the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, well, what are you trying to do? Listen, I'm just saying we just need to make sure that we don't get in His way, right? And we present it in such a way where people can really connect to God. And yes, God can do something powerful. And this isn't a list on the five, but let me just give you this kind of as a parenthesis under the powerful column there. And that is that Jesus, I believe one of the things that made Jesus powerful was that he was generous. For God so loved the world that He gave. Jesus was incredibly generous. He gave His life. He gave His all. And so we as a church, we're going to give our all. We're going to go all in. If Jesus went all in for us, then we're going to go all in for Him. So we're going to be a culture of generosity. Amen? We're going to be a generous culture. In fact, a couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity, and yes, it was a wonderful opportunity, to go across the street and serve ice cream to the Pride of Niner Nation marching band. And come on, I heard a whoop. Come on, give it up for the band. And we did some parking here on our lot, and for the students that were registering for our parking, on the last day of our parking, I remembered, oh my goodness, we got extra ice cream available in the freezer. And so I would ask the person I'd register for parking on our lot that park here during the week. I said, you know, sitting out here in the lobby, and I said, at the end of the registration, I'd look at them, I'd say, can I ask you a question? Would you like some ice cream? And you should see their countenance change when you say that. Not one person turned me down. It's amazing. And they look at you like, huh? And then I kind of explain, you know, we went across the street. We got some left over. Would you like some? Sure. And so I walk them over to our cafe, and I pull out the freezer, and I say, and by the way, it's there today, y'all. If y'all want to get some, it's your refrigerator. It's your ice cream, okay? You paid for it. Go ahead. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So go ahead and get you some. But it's there in the freezer, and I said, just get what you want. And we got five different kinds. One person, I said, we got five different kinds, and she was trying to decide. I said, well, if you can't decide, just say yes. Just take one of everything. And she said, okay. And so she took one of everything. I thought, either she got to eat that really fast or she got some friends in the car, you know what I'm saying? But, and by the way, on September the 10th, on Tuesday, I'm going to be sitting out here in the parking lot. If anybody wants to come by and help me with it, feel free and welcome to join me. I'm going to put a tent out here in the parking lot. And for the people parking that I missed that's going to come in and off of our lot, I'm going to be out there with a tent. I'm going to have me a cooler. I'm going to have me some ice cream. And we're going to give some more free ice cream away, right? We're going to be generous. And you say, well, that's kind of silly. Actually, it's powerful. Actually, it's powerful. If you'd have seen the difference it made in some of these people, I said, we're on a new level now. We're friends. They're not just registering for a parking space. We're friends now. Ice cream will make you friends. Come on, everybody. It will put a smile on somebody's face. So I'm just saying, so when you look at these attributes of Jesus, we as a church need to make sure that we're establishing our church around who Jesus is. Listen, it's not about who I am. It's not about my personality. It's about the personality of Jesus. Can I get a good amen right there? And so with that being said, let's break this down into four core values that we will focus on as a church. And somewhere in your notes, if you just write these words, write my church. And the reason I want you to write my church is because I want you to see that it's not my church, the pastor's church. Come on, it's our church. And I just want you to make it more personal and say it's my church. Come on, I've had people come to me and say, can I borrow some of your chairs at your church? And they're members here. And I'm like, these are your chairs. This is your table. This is your ice cream, right? So put down my church. And then write this point down. Number one, my church encounters God. Encounters God. So as I'm pulling out that attribute of Jesus, that he was powerful. Listen, we want to be a church that is not just focused on phenomenal messages. That's supposed to be a laughter point right there. Okay. Great videos, excellent music, and lights, and ice cream. Okay. We want to be a church that when we show up, listen to this, God shows up. And when God shows up, lives are changed. Amen? And so we believe more happens in 1 second in the manifest presence of God than in all the fancy whatevers. Right? We need the presence of God in this place. And so we posture ourselves so God will show up in a great way. I personally believe that every one of us need a God encounter. We need to encounter God powerfully and regularly. Amen? And so I mean, have you ever had those moments when you try to tell somebody something and you say, well, you just had to be there. You can't tell them. You know, you experience something great and you think, something happens at a restaurant or something happens in some experience somewhere in life and you just say, and you try to explain it to them and you can't, and you say, well, you just had to be there. Well, Christianity can be that way where we're here, but we're hearing somebody else's story. But here's the thing. You need to be there and experience it yourself. You need your own story. You need your own burning bush experience like Moses. Now, it doesn't have to be a burning bush. God does different things in different people's lives, but you need your own experience. You need your own, what Paul had, that road to Damascus experience. You need your own experience. And here's what I believe. God never intended to be a God where you just heard about what he did in the lives of other people's lives. Listen, God wants to be a God who reveals himself in your life. Come on. In my life, right? So we want to be sure that we are encountering God. So we need to have God encounters. In fact, every Sunday morning, we our main focus on Sunday morning is that people come to know God, but we create an atmosphere where he'll show up, where people will be an atmosphere of faith, where they can really connect to who he is, right? I believe that if we create that kind of culture, things will grow. Because you could be doing all the right things and have the wrong culture and nothing's going to grow. Culture, right? Our values is what's going to cause things to grow. It's the soil. It's the condition. God, when he created mankind, he created the atmosphere first, right? He created the garden and then he put man in the garden. So we're creating an atmosphere where people, a place where people can come into an atmosphere where they can experience the presence of God and encounter truly who he is. Encounter is so important. So let me just put it to you through this scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And I think sometimes in religion we think he's just this chiseled stone. But when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. So it's not just about the rules. It's what? It's about the relationships. And then we find that we're free of it. We're free of just worrying about trying to keep rules that we can't keep. We actually have a relationship. And the relationship, when that happens, the rules will take care of themselves. Our life will change as we begin to follow Christ, right? But we need to have a place where that atmosphere, where that connection can happen. So let me move on to another thing, and that's that number two is that my church enjoys life. My church enjoys life. And what I mean by that is that we believe that one of the distinguishing features of the church is this, and that is, and I said it before, and it may be heresy to some, but that the church should actually be fun. Like when you go to church, you're glad that you did. Isn't that great? Instead of, I got that checked off my box, it was kind of painful, now let's go do something fun. Like, now we'll go to the park, and now we'll have fun. Now we'll go to the restaurant, and now we'll have fun. I believe church should be the most enjoyable and fun part of your entire week. It's happening right now. We believe that you should actually have fun. David said, and you've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad. Not I was sad, not I was mad, not I was glad when it was over and I get to go eat. No, he was glad. And I believe that we should have church should be so enjoyable. Come on, we think that sometimes church, the more painful it is, the more points we get, holy points in heaven if it's painful and we endure it. No, I mean, some think that it's that way. But listen, it needs to be enjoyable. It needs to be a place where we love God, where you know, when we serve God, it's an enjoyable experience. You know, we think, some people think that having a relationship with God is this thing where I give over control to what I want to do and what I really like to do and all those things that I don't like. And so if I follow God, that means he's going to call me to some far region of the world that I won't have good water and won't have good food and I'm going to get some kind of disease and I'm going to have, you know, I mean, and we just think this way. And listen, God, that's not what God's about. God calls people to different places, but he calls people by what he's already put inside of them, and there's a want to in there for them to do that, right? And if God's designed you in a different way, God wants you to do what he's called you to do. And so living for God is the most enjoyable. Listen, if you're not living for God, I know I'm wound up here. I'm trying to sit down so I can really just teach this morning. But if you just think living for God is just this thing where just it's painful and I can barely do it and I'm trying and I'm struggling, can I just tell you, you're doing it the wrong way. You're doing it the wrong way. This is a relationship we have with God, and there is nothing like it. If you don't have this relationship with God where you're enjoying life and living life enjoyable, then let me tell you, you're just existing. And can I tell you, that's often true for the church. We exist, we got property, we got a location, we go through the motion, we go through the form. But I can tell you that God wants to breathe life into us today. Jesus has come that we might have life and that we might have it to the full. He wants us to enjoy life. Now the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, according to John 10 and 10. But Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. That means to the full or till it overflows. We need to be so full of something of God until we are actually overflowing and splashing out onto other people. Amen? So I mean, that's our goal. That's our goal as a church. We want our goal to be where people, when we say that church is over, that people say, oh, is it over already? And do I have to wait 6 weeks or 6 days, excuse me, to be able to come back again? We want to have a church, come on, where where people build, now listen to this, this might sound crazy to some, but where they plan their vacations around being able to get back to church on Sunday because I don't want to miss Sunday. We want to create, can anybody help me and join with me? Can we be in unity on that? That we want to have a church where it's so enjoyable, so life-giving, that everything in their life changes. And I believe that's what God wants the church to look like. I really do. I really do. I think He wants our church to look like a tailgate party. Come on. Are y'all out there today? I'm talking about celebrating. And come on. Look, so I don't want a funeral. I want a wedding celebration going on here today. Come on, everybody, right? I believe that our praise, now if you look in the book of Psalms about how they praised God, how they lifted up praise, it looks more like a tailgate party in the book of Psalms, really, than oftentimes church services do in some places. And I want to make sure that we fall into a biblical example of what worship and what church should look like. And it should be hilarious. Come on, we talked about it earlier. Hilarious praise and life-giving praise to God. Amen, everybody? That's what we want to do as a church. So look at this. We want our church, my church, to know that we enjoy life. Look at number three. My church empowers people. Empowers people. And let me tell you why this is a huge value. A lot of times, let me just teach this for just a moment. A lot of times, a church can be centered around one leader, one pastor, and his vision. And then years are spent in recruiting money and volunteers to support it and to elevate that person and their vision. But can I just say that as a church, very few can be able to say that when they come into a church, and this is what we want, is for that they encountered me and that there were things in my heart that spoke into my heart. And things begin to happen in my heart, and I began to realize that this church is not about just fulfilling one man's vision, but it's about, listen, discovering what's in your heart and seeing God develop that and grow you. By the way, I'm not here to make me great. I'm here to make you great. All right? Let me just share this with you. In the Old Testament, when we talk about ministry, this is how some things have gotten messed up in the church. In the Old Testament, there was this guy named Jacob. He had a son named Levi, and from that came the Levite family, okay? And the Levites assumed the position of priesthood. God appointed them as priests. But in the New Testament, and back in the Old Testament, you would go through the priest. But in the New Testament, listen to this now, things change. Jesus becomes the high priest, so we don't need a mediator. We actually can go to God through Him. And so, but we see here some things that happen over the process of time, and that was Jesus. He came as mediator, and then He gave His Holy Spirit to be in all, and not just in the Jews, but with also to the Gentiles, that's us. But after the biblical days, here's what kind of through church history happened. We established the clergy, or the priest, or the pope, or the pastor, and the clergy, that category that I just described, those became the experts, okay? Clergy are experts. They know all these things. And the laymen, that's you guys, are just common novices. And so the clergy, you go to him for him to really tell you what the Bible says. But there was, in church history, about the year 1500, someone began to read the Bible and decide that that's not right, and it launched what we call the Protestant Reformation. And the key idea of that was this. Now, just bear with me. The key idea was it was a priesthood of all believers. So it was not two groups, because in the early church, it says that they all went and preached everywhere. They all preached everywhere. But over the years, even though we had the Protestant Reformation, that has not changed. And now 2,000 years later, we're here in North Carolina, and people come up to me and they say, you're my preacher. But here's the truth. Okay, this is North Carolina language. I ain't your preacher. I ain't your preacher. I'm your pastor, and I'm helped to lead you as a good shepherd, an under-shepherd. But the fact of the matter is that you were preachers. that we're all called by our life and where God's placed us and where we live and where we go and where God's assigned us, all to be representatives of Him and to share the good news. Now, most churches are set up completely backwards from what the Bible says. We have the, listen to this, we have the congregation leading and making decisions, and we have the leaders ministering. Here's what needs to happen. The people need to give up the leadership to the minister. Let me be the shepherd, the pastor. And the pastors need to give up the ministry and lead. Let me say it again. The people need to give up the leadership and minister, and the pastors need to give up the ministry and lead. In other words, my job is to empower you to be preachers of the gospel. My job is to empower you, right, to minister to people. That's what small groups are about. That's what our small groups leaders are about. They're helping me really pastor the church, but they're there to help minister to people throughout in relationships and breaking that down into relationships. Are you following me? I know that's a little deep. All right, you still with me? Everybody take a deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, so my church encounters God. My church enjoys life. My church empowers people. Number four, my church exists for others. My church exists for others. We are a church that does not exist for ourselves. And while that sounds great, it's not necessarily easy, because there is a gravitational pull that wants us, that we have this issue with saying, you know, I got this going on and that going on. Let's talk about me. Let's love on me. And if we look how we gravitate, most of us spend our entire lives, listen to this, building our lives around ourselves. And can I just remind us today that is not what we're here for. That is not why we are on this planet. The church does not exist for itself. Right? And when, listen to this, when you get to the place where you're more concerned about who's in my chair, who's in my favorite parking space, and all those kind of issues, we've lost the fact of what this thing is all about. And I've got to remind ourselves of that over and over again, because there's a tension for all of us to come and get stuff for us. But even in this message, listen, it's almost like there's nothing for you. But we know we're on this planet to make a difference. We got to be salt and we got to be light in a dark world. And we have to organize ourselves in such a way to allow God to work in us and through us to reach, listen to this, His lost children. So we've got to make a decision. Karen hit on it in our huddle this morning. Are we going to go fishing, or are we going to make a difference? Are we just going to just take care of our own needs, or are we going to go fish for people? Are we going to turn that around and make a difference and be about other people, right? Let me give you three fundamental reasons why this is so. Let me skip down past that. Here's what I know. Well, let me give you this. Three fundamental reasons why. Number one, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12 and 2, God said to Moses, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. The reason we are blessed is to be a blessing. And by the way, if you're living in America, I don't know if you've realized it or not, we are blessed. We are blessed. Number two, when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. So you say, what about me? Let me tell you, I've said it before. You take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. We have got to make sure that we are involved in blessing others. And when we do that, God will take care of our needs. In fact, in Luke 18 and 29, it says this, I guarantee this, anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in this life and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. So God is saying, when you take care of others, I'll take care of your issues and your problems. But the mission at first hand is that we look after the needs of other people. In fact, Luke 6:37 says, give away your life and you'll find your life back again. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Amen? Number three, the more we're blessed by God, the more He expects us to help others. So we must be good stewards with what God's given us. And can I tell you, God has given us a wonderful opportunity where He has placed us across from the world. Do y'all realize that? We are across from the world. In fact, I wonder how many people are here today that are from different places around the world. Can I tell you that God has positioned us in a place where we can affect and impact somebody's life, and then they can go to somewhere around on the other side of this planet and impact the lives of someone else. We emphasize missions around here, and I would love for us all to be able to go on a missions trip, but can I tell you, we are on a missions trip. The mission is right before us. The mission is all around us. We work around the entire world. It was represented across. Last I checked, there was 100 countries represented across the street. So God has called us. God has called us. And the Bible tells us this. In Luke 12:48 says, much is required from those to whom much is given, for their responsibility is greater. God has given us much. And with that He's given us, there is a great responsibility. Here's the big idea of the day. There's a tension gravitational pull to what we want and what's good for us and what we need instead of doing what He wants and what others need. And so I'm taking this message and I'm dedicating it not only to you, but I bless you and say this to you that today, and that is that this may be, in fact, the very important message that you've ever heard, and that is that we are here to make a difference in the life of someone else. Now, before you cross the line of faith, it is all about you. But once you have crossed that line of faith, it is about you reaching back and bringing the next person across that line of faith and knowing who God is. So, the question, what does God want us to do? It's not unclear. We don't need more information until we've done what we already know to do. In Jesus' final words, He said this. Really, again, before you cross the line of faith, it's not about you. But you need to get We come into this relationship with Jesus, and it's all about that. But the most important thing then is getting other people into that realm of faith. Let me give you this. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That's what God's called us to do. We are a Great Commission church. So we know why what we're talking about the last couple weeks is so important. And that is John 3:16. It's life and death, right? And we know what? Our vision. We've been commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel. And the vision are what? Again, let me throw this back up for you again. Is that we know God. Let me just break this down. That we know God. And that's what we primarily focus on Sunday mornings. That we find freedom. That's small groups. Getting people in relationship where they can work through those issues and find freedom. Discover purpose. The way we do that here is our growth track. And helping people discover their purpose and their calling. Today is step one of that. I encourage you to get in on that. And then to make a difference. And that's our dream team, where you get on a team with other people making a difference. So we know what to do. But now today, we talked about how to do that. Our values. And that is that we want to be able to encounter God. Right? Number two, to enjoy life. Number three, to empower people. And number four, we exist for others. Can I give it to you just a little bit simpler? And this is how we give it to our children. Our children, we kind of use a different language, and it's this way. We want you to love God, right? So encounter God. We want you to love people, because if you're enjoying life, guess what life consists of? People. Love people. Number three is do your best. We want you to do your best. So we're empowering you. We want you to become the best person you can be. To do your best, to live your life with excellence, that God can do a work in you and through you. And then number four is to have fun. We exist for others. And can I tell you, there's nothing more fun, nothing more enjoyable than ministering to someone else and their needs. Can I tell you, your needs, you will be blessed in the process when God uses you to be a blessing to someone else. Does anybody hear what I'm talking about this morning? All right? Can I get a witness? Is that not true? When you think about yourself, I don't know about you, when I think about myself and my own needs, I get down, I get depressed, I kind of get into a pity party at times. Am I the only one that feels that way? Have you ever thrown a pity party, sent out invitations, and nobody comes? You're the only one that shows up other than the devil. And he's right there whispering in your ear. And when it comes all about you, it's just, a person wrapped up to themselves makes for a very small package. But when you live your life for someone else, that's when everything changes. That's when life is fun. That's when it's fulfilling. When you get connected with other people, right? When you're making a difference in other people's lives. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God, I know that I've given a lot of material here today. It's been more of a teaching than a preaching. But God, I just pray that you would help us to hear your heart through all this. What this really boils down to is that you're on a mission to reach your lost kids. And then you've placed us here to be your representatives on this earth to carry out that mission of reaching your lost children. God, I thank you for the opportunities you've given us to have a church where people can come in a life-giving environment. They can encounter you, God. They can find freedom. They can discover their purpose. Then they can live their life being fulfilled by making a difference in the lives of other people. God, I pray that we as a church would be in a spirit of unity as we embrace what you have called us to do and get excited about having a church that is so life-giving that people can come and they can encounter you, God. Their life can change and you can set them free. Lord, I thank you for that today. Oh, God, and I pray for those, Lord, that are here today that perhaps have not even taken that first step of really having that encounter with you where they really know you personally. They know about you, but God, they don't really know you as they should. Or maybe they did at one time, but they're not where they need to be. God, I pray that this will be the day that they cross that line of faith. And their life is changed. And they begin to take these steps of following you and seeing their life change forever. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity today. If you are here and you haven't taken that first step, maybe you were there at one point in your life, but you're not where you need to be, and you know that that relationship is not where it needs to be. Maybe there's just been other things in life that has distracted you and pulled you away, and you need to make sure today that you make sure that He's number one in your life, that He's first place. I want to lead you in a prayer and help you with that. If you're watching online, if you're here in this house today, I want to lead you in a prayer today, just helping you just make that commitment. Maybe the first time or you coming back. But I'm not going to embarrass you, have you stand or come to the front. I'm just going to pray with you right where you are and let you listen. I'm just helping you with the words. All you've got to do is mean it. Let God, allow God to come in your life and change your life forever. If that's you, before I pray that prayer, would you just slip up a hand if that's you? I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. My heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just slip up a hand? You can put it up, put it right back down. Just, hey, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Others, thank you. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us as well. Amen. Yes, good job. Can you just pray something like this? Can I just help you with the words? All you got to do is mean it. In fact, can I just encourage everybody to pray this out loud just for those that need to pray this? Come on, everybody. Let's just pray this together. Say something like this. God, today, I open my heart to you. I open every area of my life to you, and I invite you to come in. I turn from my way to your way, from my will to your will, and I'm asking you to come into my life and change me. Come inside and make me brand new. Forgive me of my mistakes, my failures, and my sins. God, I want to follow you. So I surrender. I surrender the control of my life. Come on, say it this way. Say, I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Father, thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, now as we've surrendered to you, we declare you as the Lord of our life. God, I pray, God, that you, O Lord, would just give them the courage and the strength, Lord, and the ability by your Holy Spirit who now comes within their heart to walk this thing out. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for our sins. So as we've surrendered our life to you, God, everything changes. God, the past is the past, and now it's a new beginning. This moment on, it's a new beginning. It's a new day. So, Lord, we celebrate that decision, the best decision of their life. And God, we pray even as a church, God, Lord, we would be about what you called us to do, this very thing. God, seeing you come in, change lives forever. Lord, we celebrate this change. We celebrate a new beginning. Along with the angels in heaven, God, we celebrate. And we'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.